Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Scenes, or if you're here for the first time, welcome in general. Today we got a really fun episode with two people very dear to us. They are Matt and Lisa Jacobson, otherwise known as Club 31 Women and Faithful Man. So you guys might know them by those names, but we've been friends with them for, I don't know, maybe 4 years now, and they're some mentors of ours, and just some good friends. And so today we're going to be talking all about marriage coaching, marriage mentorship, why it's important, and this is something that they do a lot of. And Audrey and I, we get asked questions quite a bit, whether it be online or in person, and a lot of the time we end up going to a few folks, Matt and Lisa being one of them, to, you know, ask them and see what they have to say about a lot of things. So I think it'll be really cool for you guys to hear from their mouths directly, just some wisdom and things that they've got to say. So without further ado, let's jump into our conversation with Matt and Lisa Jacobson. Matt and Lisa Jacobson, so good to have you guys in the studio here. You guys drove in from Bend.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful, right. Beautiful morning.
Yeah, which is so cool. Let's start by just giving a little bit of context, babe, to who Matt and Lisa are for everyone listening. So Matt,
maybe let them give the context.
Well, I want to give a little bit and then we'll let them go into it. But Matt and Lisa Jacobson, we met, 4 years ago now?
Yeah, pushing four, I think.
Pushing,
sure, yeah.
Pushing four for sure. Yeah. But probably from our first meet. Did we meet you when we flew up from LA?
Dude.
Not that day.
Dude.
No, oh, no. Yeah, forgetting. Yeah. He came to my parents' house in Broken Top. Remember?
Oh, that's you're not going back far enough.
Wait, really?
Before that?
Oh,
I met you when you were nine.
Yeah, yeah. Matt met me when I was nine.
That's a crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Matt was in the publishing world, and my dad was doing some publishing stuff then, and so
I came out to the farm right here.
Yeah, you came out to the farm right here.
Yeah.
Wow, what a full circle.
Isn't that crazy?
That's right.
So we went to Bend, and Matt and Lisa have been a huge part of our life as mentors, as coaches, and really just figures we look up to your guys' marriage, and they've been a super big part of the big decisions we've made in the last couple years. Pastor of the church, the home church we were going to in Bend, when we were there. And so stoked to have you guys on.
It's really cool to be here.
That's great. We're glad.
So now let's let, babe, see you coming around. Now let's let you guys give some context. So
yes.
Real quick, who are you? What do? Where do you live?
All right. So yeah, Central Oregon is where we live. And what we do is each other. Right.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead, babe.
Well, Matt's been a pastor of this home church for the last 16 years, and we've been involved in publishing, Christian publishing, for probably 30 years. That seems like a long time.
Yeah,
but
wow.
Since even before we were married, we separately were involved in different ways, and we have authored a number of books, and including our most recent is 100 Ways to Love Your Husband and 100 Ways to Love Your Wife, and it's a his and her book that we wrote together separately, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And you have a blog.
Oh, and I have a blog, club31women.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an obvious
exactly
thing. Kind of a big thing.
Kind of a big thing.
So I have 15 women who write for me and with me, and we talk about we share our passion for husband, home, and family. It's for Christian women to encourage them in biblical womanhood.
Yeah. And we have eight kids.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Just throw that in there.
And just today on the way over here, we stopped at Sister's Coffee, and somebody said, I was chatting somebody that we know, said, hey, what is your youngest? Because they knew our family, but hadn't seen her for a long time. And I said, the youngest is 13 now. Yeah. So
is he really?
Wait, okay. Yeah, right. Hawken?
Yeah. My mom just asked
Hawken
me the other
is 13. 13.
I was thinking he was more like 11.
Yeah, yeah. 10, 11, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, yeah, 13. So times are moving on. We still have four at home.
And then how old is Britton then?
Britton is 25, 6.
25.
25.
So yeah. 13 to 25.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So they're actually fairly close together. But anyway, but I also have a blog. It's called faithfulman.com.
Yes.
And
oh, wait, I'm pause really quick because people that always see Jeremy wearing the sweatshirt, Faithful Man.
Oh, Faithful Man. That's right.
And so, people are always like, what is that sweatshirt that Jared always wears?
And if people DM me, I'll link it to them.
From Matt. And that is Faithful Man. So he wears that.
Awesome. Yeah. I love seeing you in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly because it's true. All right. I mean, that's the thing, right? You live what you wear. How about that?
How about that?
I like that.
Yeah.
Quote it.
So anyway, but that's just a little bit about us. And what else? You want to tell them like the bad stuff too?
No, just the good stuff.
Just the good
only
stuff.
And we behind the scenes? Come on.
And we covered, you guys are in Bend and Redmond, right? Redmond, Bend, same thing.
Yeah.
Central Oregon. So
cool.
Cool.
Do you guys want to give us just a quick little, like, how you guys met, your love story a little bit?
Yeah,
just,
Sparks you notes know. Us up to now, real quick. Just
Can I do, am I even capable
no,
of this?
Not.
Yeah, right?
Hold so, him to it, Lisa. Right.
So I was in publishing, just working as an executive at a publishing company. My assistant said, hey, would you ever be willing to date my friend? And here's a picture. And I said, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, let's do this thing. And
I was 26, single, living in down in LA, and there was no one in my life.
Oh,
like,
you guys
no.
Lived
you know.
In LA?
Yeah.
Were you
no,
born?
I was in LA. He was up in Portland.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so he's trying to set you up long distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did you go down there?
No, I was in favor of that as an idea, as a general idea. Like, I'll date her for sure. Well, about a week later, she walks into my... What?
Okay, I have to interrupt you. So this friend...
This is my favorite part of
this. Friend wrote me a letter, like an old-fashioned real letter. That's why I thought you guys would
we
like
those,
this.
Yes. Yes.
I still have this letter.
The
and
important
she said,
part of the story.
You cursive, I think.
So you have to meet my boss. He is tall, dark, and believe me, handsome.
Hmm.
Yes. And so right then I'm like, I am open to this.
Yeah.
To this idea.
My assistant was frankly brilliant. I always held her in high esteem.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So this all happens. And then literally about a week later, my assistant walks into my office, Linda Wardlow, my assistant. She walks into my office. She's got this little grin on her face. And she goes, hey, remember that gal that I said, you know?
Yeah.
Last week, you date her? And I said, yeah. Like, Lisa, you think you said? Yeah, well, she's right outside your office. I said, right now?
Oh, nice.
Like, she's there? She's yes. So
this is like legit
she's
surprise.
She's right outside your office, and you get to take her to lunch. And I looked at her, and I said, well, that's really interesting, but there's probably something that you need to know.
That's awful.
And she started getting this worried look on her face. And I said, I'm not taking her to lunch. And she goes, oh, no, you're kidding. You're not? What? She's right here. And I said, right. And I'm right here at my desk. And I'm not taking her to lunch. What am I going to do? She says, I don't know.
Why did you do that?
Well, she told me that he wanted to take me out. That's what she said. So I was
she was chasing me. Come on, admit it.
I was up in Portland for a wedding, to be in a wedding. I was a bridesmaid 13 times. Professional bridesmaid.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. And so I'm standing in the lobby of this publishing company waiting for this guy to take me to lunch.
That's right.
And then.
Well, because I mean, she just buttonholed me right out, you know, no warning, no nothing.
Yeah. Matt does not do well with
buttonholing. So that's why you said no, though.
Yeah.
It's just to stick it to the man.
No, not to stick it to the man, but like, I need to have a little more context for this.
Right?
No.
This is amazing.
No, it wasn't a power play. It was a desperation fear play, I think, on my part, right?
You didn't tell
me that. Nobody knew that, right? I'm all suave and, you know, maintain my dignity, but I'm going.
But yeah, internally, there was a little explosion.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
So what did you do, Lisa? They just were like,
it worked
mind.
Out really well from
oh,
there.
Oh my goodness. No, this is bad. So he comes out and he goes over, and the first thing he does is shake my hand. I'm like, whatever.
I just want to be polite, right?
Yeah.
So I walked up.
What guy's gonna take you to lunch and shakes your hand?
And she wanted me to kiss her right on the spot.
Right.
I think that's
spot.
What she wanted.
What they do in the movies.
Yeah.
No. And then he goes, oh, and he's just like, kind of nice to meet you. Oh, well, and he points to his watch.
I don't know. Did I wear a watch?
Yeah, you point to your watch. You go, oh, I'm sorry, really busy. I got to go.
Oh, wow. Matt.
And
well,
leaves me standing,
that is bad.
Standing in this lobby looking like an idiot.
And you're like, never again. This guy's off.
No, no literally, way. Like flames.
No,
out
she
of
got
my ears.
To go. No,
I
no.
was so mad.
You had a great lunch. You got to go to lunch with the president and the fan, the president, the vice president of my fan club.
Yeah. So his assistant and sister thinks they'll cheer me up by taking me out to lunch and tell me how wonderful this guy is.
And
the more they
like,
talk, the so more mad. I hated him. Oh like I hated him.
Wow.
Yeah. But I will admit, when I walked away, I was thinking, hey, you probably did that too fast. Well, too bad. Mary made your decision.
Wait, so then what was the turning around? How did you get over that?
And okay, like, so 8 months later, so this whole time, so we both
So you
went,
don't talk?
Yeah.
You're not, I'm not interested. Like, she just shows up, thanks.
It's just that I didn't like being surprised like that, buttonholed in the moment, somebody else planning on what you're going to do, and I have no
plan. That was a frustrating circumstance.
So.
And our assistant and good friend, she really did believe that we were meant for each other. And so she just went home and prayed about it.
And she would today say that she probably didn't do the right thing the first time around, but she didn't care. She knew God had a plan here.
And in the meanwhile, God was working on my heart.
I was just going to ask.
I was 26 and single. And
you guys were both believers.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
And I think the main thing that God was impressing upon me was that unknowingly I had written my own script on what it would look like to meet this guy.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was saying to me, Lisa, will you let me write the story?
It's good.
And have more of an open hand to what I have for you.
Yeah.
And that's was the message I felt.
That you were just receiving over the course of that time.
Yeah.
And you had the confidence in God's plan for you that you went out and bought a wedding dress.
In faith. I didn't know it was going to be him though, trust me.
This is later on? Or
This was between. In those 8 months.
Wow.
God just put in my heart that I was going to, this doesn't happen very often, but I was going to get married that year.
Oh my gosh.
And so then out of the blue, Matt called me.
I called.
8 months later.
And I just said, hey, so here's the thing.
You've been on my mind.
I hear, here's the deal. I walked by my assistant desk. I said, hey, that gal, Lisa, you know, if she was ever up here, I absolutely would like to take her out. Yeah. And
actually, 2 months advance, 2 months ahead.
And so she gets on the phone to you, and she'd been praying the whole time. She gets on the phone to you that day, right then, actually 5 minutes probably after I said that. And she said, hey, you know, are you ever, you know, going to be back up in this? And you were coming up for your bazillionth wedding.
Yeah.
It was another wedding.
Another one.
Oh, another one. Yeah.
Like I said.
How come so many in Portland? Oh, because your parents.
Yeah, just we had grown up there and had lots of family.
So anyway, so she's coming up. Wow. So I thought, okay, it's time to take this one head on. So I just called her straight up and I said, babe, not babe. That's what I say to you now.
Yeah.
You did say babe.
I just said, look, we got off on the wrong foot. And here's the reason. And how about we just take all of that and just shove it aside and forget about it. And let's just say we're starting this thing out right now. Yeah. Let's start that way. And so she was willing to do that, which is amazing after the debacle of, you know, and the embarrassment,
like
frankly,
I said, God had
softened
my heart to not be so severe on and quick to judge.
And I was already godly,
And I appreciated the direct approach. So. That actually worked well with me. Just tell me what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we had we went to a dinner party just with some friends and family that night. And he walked in the room. I was sitting on the couch. He walked in the room and I thought, oh, that's the man I'm going to marry.
Wow.
Like I knew.
Whoa, you had a massive change of heart then.
Exactly. And I did.
And then she tried to cheat at cards and lost, and that sealed the deal.
She goes,
anybody that can cheat at cards, or if I'm cheating at cards and he can still beat me. Anyway, that's another story.
From that moment, that dinner, when were you married?
Did you actually get married then the next summer?
Well, it took us 5 days before we decided to get married.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So you guys hadn't even moved fast. I don't remember this.
But you guys were also like a little bit older. You're not we were 20. Let's get married.
That's true.
Yeah.
We were, I was late 20s.
This was your second time hanging out.
31.
Were you
already 31? Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a spring chicken, which is exactly what she said to me. Which is exactly what she said to me when I got cold feet. We'd already decided we were going to get married. We talked about that. And that's, frankly, it's a huge story. It's kind of funny. But in fact, so if anybody wants to, they can go to, if you want the full story, it is an episode on our podcast, Faithful Life.
What episode number do you guys know?
Episode number two.
Episode number two
nice. On Faithful Life.
Faithful Life.
If you want the whole story. And it's kind of funny. But anyway, what part of that were we talking about?
So we met on a Friday night, and we decided to get married on that Thursday.
Right. Oh, that's
We didn't get married.
But then a week later.
But we talked about getting married. Yeah, that's what
And then how far later actually?
Things were so different back then, too. I'm just like listening to this right here. And even just this whole wedding, the escalation of like from that to a wedding. I mean, it's amazing what you feel obligated to plan these days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's
no, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah.
You guys are just like,
it was so much easier to, I mean, it might've been expensive, but not to
caliber that it is now.
Like no, it wasn't that expensive.
Just people didn't care as much about like all the stuff. Like whenever I see people's wedding photos from like your guys' generation, it's just, it's the flash photo in the dark church. Like they didn't even think to take a photo when it was at least like, light outside.
It's, you know, like let's build a life together, not like plan, you know, I don't want to say a wedding, but like that is, it's so interesting. Anyways, let's, okay. So you guys get married literally
A few months later.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I just want to go back to the spring chicken.
Oh, right. We went past right over that.
Because after we'd already decided to get married, I flew to LA in a week or two, came down there to hang out with her and just, you know, spend time. But we'd already decided we're getting married.
Yeah.
But I kind of started getting like, wait, are you moving too fast? Have you made a good decision? Mm-hmm. Is this wise? You know, all these doubts and fears and everything. And she says to me, well, what are you going to wait for God to like audibly tell you? You're not a spring chicken, you know.
Oh, funny.
Oh, you like, actually said
she
that.
She said that. That's how long are you going to wait?
Yeah. I knew he was just getting cold feet. Just needed to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But hey, they got hot real quick. It wasn't a problem.
He needed an elbow in the ribs.
Yeah. So, he did.
Anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we got married.
But then we were trying to get other people on board and, you know, all of that. So we waited too long to get married.
Speeding up a little bit.
Eight kids later.
Well, so yeah, you get married. You guys find yourself.
I said it got hot.
You find yourself in Central Oregon and in ministry. Right? You
got I was in publishing and then, the church 16 years ago and we've been married for almost 27. So, so there was 10 years of, you know, just business.
Mostly publishing.
Publishing.
Yeah. Publishing life. Yeah.
And then, in addition to the publishing world, we started the church.
Yeah.
As well,
so. That's good. So what's a picture in life look like right now? You know, like with church, with what you guys are doing, you know, we ran through who you are and where you live and what you do, but like, mm-hmm. what's kind of that life look like right now with church and,
You know, a lot of similar things as when you guys were in the church and when you guys were over on that side of the mountain.
Yeah.
So the church carries on. We're involved with people's lives. There's discipleship and training and fellowship and walking with the other people in the church.
And as you know, community is super important to us, our church body. And so we do a lot of just having people over for dinner and hanging out with people and talking and or just being there with, we just saw, you know, Elisha and Katie and their new baby. So that's an important part of when we think of church, as you guys know.
And the church has really grown, which has been kind of cool too. It is a home church, right? So that was the model that we just felt that we should pursue. Based on some of the other things we had been involved with and experienced.
Yeah.
And now we've sent off two groups of people that now have their own churches that are in the region, but ways away from us. And so that's kind of cool.
Super cool. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's really cool to watch. We actually got to go back and visit one of the new ones when we were there.
Awesome. Yeah.
And it's just so fun to see how it's grown since we've been a part of it and how God's at work through it.
So definitely. So really one thing, you know, kind of going off that, one thing we wanted to talk or at least ask you guys about because I think you guys are going to have some good things to say about it and some good direction, practical tips, and I don't want to call it inspiration, but let's call it advice for folks looking to press into a healthy marriage, whether they have one or not, healthier, healthy, whatever it is. We have a lot of people on the podcast, and you know, when they talk about the turning point in their life or the moment they quote unquote woke up or fixed something or improved their marriage in a large way, it usually, and correct me if I'm wrong, babe, it usually comes down to two things, either correcting their perspective on something, realizing that, you know, marriage isn't designed to make you happy. It's designed to make you holy. Perspective shifts like that, or an older couple, marriage coach, marriage mentor, coming alongside them and building a relationship with them that's actually calling them out on stuff and telling them like, hey, this is how we did it. This is our experience. Those are the two things I feel like a lot of people come back to as the moment that like things started to really get exciting. And so just wanted to ask you guys if you wanted to kind of dive into that conversation, because, you know, you guys help us out a lot. You know, we consider you guys mentors. You guys help us through decisions. And one thing we really appreciate about you guys is the way you've molded our biblical perspective. Because a lot of people can just read the Bible, but then when you have someone to go to, or a couple that you can model things after, it's helped immensely. Hey, I want to take a quick break from our conversation to tell you guys about Audible. Audible is an audiobook platform that allows you to download and listen to hundreds of thousands of audiobooks. And if you have never listened to an audiobook, they are amazing. We do it when we travel to Bend, when we road trip, when we fly, commute, whatever it is. You can just crush a lot more books than you could if you just read them. And so we're big fans of it. We've actually partnered with Audible. And so if you guys want, you can get a free 30-day trial and your first download for free. And we hope you make that a love letter life. So in order to do that, you just go to audibletrial.com/rolloff. And that'll open up a page. You can start your free 30-day trial. You'll have access to tons and tons of books. And you can download your first book for free. And we hope you make that a love letter life. So there you go. Hope that's useful and helpful. Get a free audiobook on us. And if you're anything like us, you'll get hooked. So have fun. Enjoy that. Back to our conversation.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why I want to...
And I think also just... there's a lot of people that can give you opinion-based or experience-based advice, but maybe not sound biblical advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys have the experience of 27 years of marriage, also being very thick into community, like you've said, walking along a lot of couples, and the biblical foundation of how to guide couples through that, and have helped us so much. So,
and real quick, let's jump into this, but I think a good place to start, and the reason, you know, I think this is going to be really useful to a lot of people listening, is because this is where a lot of people have found immense help, value, and growth. And so why is it really important to have, you know, an older person in your life to help guide you and teach you and walk you through? Let's just start there, maybe, I think.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the beauty of being connected with a wiser, older couple that has walked before you is they've seen the territory, they've had the experience, they've made some of the mistakes, and or they have just lived a life that has avoided a lot of those mistakes. And so, but one of the things that is super critical, and a lot of people want that kind of input, a lot of people desire that kind of input, know they need it. But one of the things when you're looking for a marriage coach, when you're looking for a mentor, one of the things to really keep in mind is if you're a Christian. Now, I know a lot of people just wear the Christian label, right? We'll vote for Jesus, right? On a good day, right? But if you're a Christian and you literally want to be a biblical Christian, see, that's different than just saying you're a Christian, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be a biblical Christian, then you need to find a marriage coach, a marriage mentor. You need to find somebody who is committed to what the Bible actually says. You can have a marriage that doesn't have anything to do with the Bible, and you can be happy. You can walk a certain. You can put it together the way you want. All right, but if you're going to be a biblical Christian, then that means you have to do what the Bible says, and to really drill down on that. You got to find somebody who knows the word of God and is bold to speak it to you.
And even just how to apply it.
Really good.
So there's so many things that are in the word that we think apply to you out there and not necessarily realize, no, this, I mean, it would start right here in this relationship right here.
Yeah.
Just even simple things like we know to be kind to the cashier when we're checking out or, and yet we don't necessarily remember to speak kindly to our husband or wife, though, even those kinds of simple things and applying those to our everyday marriage.
Yeah, totally.
Really good. And sorry, babe, if you have something, go on. I just, this is one thing in conversation before the podcast, before we started press record, but Matt, you said something interesting just about you know, this idea of marriage coaching versus marriage counseling. Cause I ask you guys, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that listen to our podcast that either are looking for marriage counseling or have been to marriage counseling. Some have had good experiences, some have had bad experiences. And I think what you said about marriage coaching and like what a coach actually is and how they can speak in your marriage is really interesting. Can you just recap that again?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing is we know people who have been in counseling for 30 years. Mm. They're still in counseling. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
it's kind of an open-ended journey.
It's sort of an open-ended journey, mm-hmm. right? Coaching is a little different insofar as you're coming for a specific body of knowledge and you can grow and develop those marriage muscles, right? Mm-hmm. By following how your coach is leading you, or you can just continue on this journey of exploration. The thing is, though, some people absolutely need professional counseling. And mm-hmm. so we simply wouldn't want to denigrate that in absolutely any way. It is a wonderful part of the body of Christ. Biblical Christian counselors.
But there's a difference.
Yes.
But there's an absolute difference. And one of them, you know, and for the most part in counseling, you're trained to be a positive influence on the person's journey. Mm-hmm. Whereas coaching is a lot more directive. In a counseling context, you're doing a lot of the talking if you're
correcting.
The person. Yeah.
In some Sorry? Way, correcting in some ways.
So a coach is coach willing to correct. And
yes,
like if I was a coach of some soccer player, I'd hey you're you got to angle the foot, hit with the laces. You
absolutely.
Know, I'm going to correct you, not necessarily positively influence you into a right direction.
That's right.
Right.
Like or validate the direction that you're on.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And again, we want to emphasize many people need professional counseling.
Yes.
But if you're coming, for instance, to me as a marriage coach, mm-hmm. and you can bring your challenges, bring your problems, but then we're going to set those in a certain place, right? You've mm-hmm. mentioned them. That's right. We're not going to spend 5 weeks talking about those things.
Yeah.
We're going to dive into the things in your life that you need to change to move forward. And it's from a biblical perspective. The Bible's very clear on so many subjects related to marriage, and there's an awesome marriage available for everyone. If you want to do it, mm-hmm. if you're a Christian and you want to do it God's way, mm-hmm. there's an awesome marriage waiting for you.
Yeah. And really I think there's so much what you just lined out, mm-hmm. the difference is so hard because it's internally, like even right now, as you're saying it, I'm like resisting it, you know, and I forget, it was like Chesterton or someone said, you know, it's not the things that I don't understand about the Bible that scares me. It's the things I do.
Oh, right.
True. No, that was Mark Twain.
Yeah. That was Mark Twain. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Of all people, right?
And I actually just read that the other day, and I thought to myself, isn't that just something?
Right.
Like, because you're right, there is a lot of clarity specifically in marriage, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times, relationally, we can just get so... Mm-hmm. cloudy, so balled up in our emotions, you know, you said this and you do that, and so, I feel a certain way about it. And somebody who's objective, mm-hmm. who is taking you both on equal love, who doesn't have a partisan perspective, just says, hey, I want to speak directly into your life about that. In fact, you probably have an example of that. You might remember, I think we were chatting.
Oh, I was thinking about, we had a couple over a little while ago, and they love each other definitely, and they're committed to their marriage, but they were just missing each other. They were both very frustrated, and the wife was the initial one who came to us and said, I am so frustrated in my marriage right now. Can you help us out? They agree. We sat down, and as she was starting to explain the problem and how frustrated she was with him, and the more she talked, it became clear that actually the real issue had to do with something she was doing, not something he was doing.
Yeah.
And in that case, Matt saw it very clearly and said, you know what I think is actually going on is your behavior is causing a wedge in your marriage. And in this case, she saw it immediately. Hmm. Like she just goes,
willing heart
horrified.
To like receive it.
You know, that she's like, I have been doing this whole time and I am the one causing this problem. And here I'm, you know, it was two well-meaning people, but just.
It's transformational in their marriage.
Yeah. Like it literally, she would say that it changed their marriage.
But I will say
that evening.
I will say I had absolutely no idea how this was going to go down. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about finding a marriage coach that truly can help you. They have to be somebody who is willing to say the hard thing.
Yeah,
even if there's a relational cost to it, blowback coming back at you. In this case, it turned out really great, but it was very direct and very pointed. And she praised the Lord. She responded positively.
Yeah. It was a beautiful turning point.
So let's get a little bit further down this rabbit hole.
That's really good.
Because you know, this is great. And obviously we agree with this. We think marriage coaching is so valuable and that there is a difference between marriage coaching and marriage counseling. Although both are necessary, they are different. The process, and I just know people are listening going, well, great. But the process in finding a marriage coach is extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. And in certain circumstances and, you know, areas of America, I guess it can be more difficult than others. But for us, something that was really helpful is we, even in finding you guys, we had friends that had a lot of fruit to show for their experience with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking like, okay, what can you guys give us and our listeners as advice or I guess somewhere to start in finding, if they want a marriage coach, someone to walk alongside them for a season of life to correct some things, to really get on some straight tracks, strong and sturdy build, stoke the engine, full of coal, and like, hey, you're good to go for a while. What are some like first steps? Because my initial thought is like, oh, we'll go to church and find this person or ask to meet with your pastor or blah, blah, blah. But, you know, just want to hear from you guys.
Well, I think the main things you want to start with, what you're looking for, is one we've already touched on, someone who's biblical, someone who believes in the Bible and applies it to marriage relationships.
Yeah.
Secondly, they think they have to be someone who models what they're teaching, that their marriage itself is loving and beautiful. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be solid and not just something that they teach.
Yeah, that is a really good point, which is why the best interview is a dinner, right?
Yeah.
Or time around their house or time around their kids just to see, you know, see if, exactly, that's so good, Lisa, see if what they taught or are teaching or have said, whether it be from the pulpit, individually or whatever, is in fact manifested and shown as fruit in their life.
You know, we have a couple that's even older than us that we really good friends with, and they've been married for, I think they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. He's a pastor and his wife. And we had breakfast with them a few months ago. And the wife was telling the story of something they had done. And while she was talking, I look over and the husband is looking at her like he is so in love. And he just was hanging on her every word. And I just, I love that. Been married 50 years. And he was just, is like, you know, just eating up everything she had to say.
Yeah. It's like,
it was a beautiful, and like that says to me more than anything they could have
said.
Yeah. Basically.
It,
yeah.
It authenticates
the message.
The message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
that's really good.
Going off of that, just start having dinner with people. Like,
okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to add my third thing to look for, I think, is also someone who's insightful and discerning. Mm-hmm. Because I think you can be a good teacher. You can have all the right knowledge.
Slow to speak.
But it has to be also, I think, someone who's gifted, really, and be able to see beyond what is, you know.
So there is a skill set there.
There is.
Yeah.
I think there is. And I think we can underestimate that.
Yeah. And it needs to be somebody that you find that you can trust. And so that in and of itself means that I'm actually going to know something about this person. I'm going to know people that he or she have been coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be some connection. It's not just going to be an out of the blue kind of relationship. So there's some authentication based on what people have observed and experienced from them. But in terms of finding that person, if you're looking for an older couple just within your community, then and you don't have any things that you absolutely need to work on, you're just looking for that
next step,
guidance, that loving hand, you know, there are a lot of underused older people in the church. There are.
Yes.
And again, you want to look at those things that you've mentioned. Yeah. You know, we see their marriage. We trust that.
Yep.
But if you are But if you're looking for somebody who's going to play a more decisive role in terms of the things that you're working on and you're working through, and you're looking for that kind of a coach, then they're admittedly harder to find.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's a bit self-aggrandizing to say, but it's things like this where somebody's listening and they're going, hey, you know what? I'd like to make a connection there because you're hearing something that's speaking to you and you're thinking, hey, this is somebody that could speak into my life. And there are people around like that. It's certainly something that...
Or a friend of a friend, that kind of thing where you know there's some connection that's...
You have to be proactive about asking. Like you have to like, and this is part of where the importance of community comes in. Cause again, like we met you guys because we knew Dan Veronica and because we knew Jen and Aaron, and like we were part of, we were coming into that community. And so I think, you know, if you have a community, four or five couples, of those four or five couples, chances are one of them has an older, wiser couple that they really look up to, that's solid biblically, that is discerning, and you know that fits that list, Lisa, that you said. That's also, I think, another piece of the pie. I'm curious if you guys agree or not, but like, is that we were doing life with you guys. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, we're randomly going to connect once a month for guys to mentor us and coach us. Well, I think that can still have value, but I think for us, like, the immense value of it too was just that we were seeing you on a regular basis without it necessarily being marriage coaching specific, but you guys were, you know, you guys knew our lives. So then when the moment came and you had to be bold to speak something into us, you knew what was going on. You had so much context.
Right. And that's ideal, I think.
And like we realize that that is ideal.
Yeah, that is ideal.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have ideal. And so, for instance, there's a couple.
You've coached people even from far distances, which is second choice.
Couple from Virginia just moved to Tennessee, and you know they've been walking. I've been walking with them for a long time, and so we meet. We meet once a week online and speak boldly into their lives. So it can be extremely fruitful, even if it's an online kind of relationship, and you'd be super positive that way too.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything, just curious, is there anything that you guys would say to older couples listening, like in your generation? We have a lot of moms that listen to this podcast, stuff like that, that maybe are like, well, you know, I'm walking out the word of God. Like, I think my marriage is a good example, but how do then I connect with a younger couple to make, like, because like you said, there is those people, but they're just not getting connected.
Underutilized.
They're underutilized. Because they feel unqualified or they feel,
Right. So the thing is that the Word of God says that God has prepared good works for us to do before the foundations of the earth. Okay. So God has a plan and a use of the gifts, the skills, the life experience, the wisdom that you have. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is making yourself available to God as a believer. We're talking to believers.
Right.
Yeah. Making yourself available to God. Say, Lord, I would like to speak into the life of somebody.
To be used.
Could you bring this couple, these start praying? And frankly, that works on the other side too. People who are seeking, people who desire this, right? Commit yourself to seeking God. We sometimes act as if God is this big prankster in the sky who puts this solution somewhere in the haystack and just dares us to try to find it. You know, right?
Yeah. No,
so the Bible says he's a loving father. He's a good shepherd.
Gives
and he knows how to give good gifts. Exactly.
Yeah.
Start seeking him. The Bible says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. So start seeking him on these things that you know you need. And then, and again, for the older, just to say, Lord, direct me where is God going to use somebody who takes their gifts, holds them with an open hand before him and say, use them the way you want to use them. Absolutely.
And I think with that, you also have to be willing to take that step of the little step of faith or even risk, you know, to say, hey, would you like to go to coffee? Or why don't we invite that young couple over for dinner? You know, and Matt and I both taking turns doing that. And, and not because we're just so confident or because we're not. We're just like, okay, let's, I don't know. I feel like we should have these people over. And I'll go, okay, because I'm the introvert. So I'm like, okay, I guess. And sure enough, some amazing relationships have come out of that.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to remember if you're just, if you're embarking on the journey as somebody who wants to be available for this kind of a ministry in the lives of others. So, and that's the mentorship, maybe not the direct coaching piece. But if you just want to speak into the lives of others in this way, just remember this. Nobody wants to be your missionary project. Okay?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All right?
Okay.
Yeah, so break that down though for some folks.
Well, you might see somebody and you go, wow, those, look at, honey, we have a wonderful marriage. And look at that younger couple, you know, just a couple rows back where they're in church.
We need to fix them.
And you're going, they need some serious help. And you just go, you know, we can help. Let's fix them. Let's invite them over and then we'll speak. And you know what?
Yeah, that's a good
people just kind of want to be loved.
Yeah,
first.
People just see through that agenda.
And
yeah.
It's the old phrase, if...
You
people don't
care
how
much
you know unless they know that you care.
Right? Yeah. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And so if you genuinely love them, mm-hmm. that is just, boy, that's oil on the creaky doors of their heart, yeah. guarding mm-hmm. their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what will open their heart mm-hmm. to hear what you have to say. But
absolutely.
But just keep that in mind. Nobody wants to be your project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People want to be loved and known.
And going off of that, it's...
Yeah, that's good. Good reminder.
Yeah. Babe, what is it you say... you know, a lot of what Jesus did was ask questions and told stories mm-hmm. like that. I mean, that was a lot of just how he delivered wisdom and content and stuff. And so just going off of that, I think it's interesting, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. that comes from conversation, that comes from you
That's
can't
you
ask
know
questions unless you know someone and you can't really learn someone unless they're telling stories. And it's just interesting how that has a kind of like what you said, Lisa, in the first example. You guys just were asking questions. She was telling her story. And in that, there was revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But that's a total different heart than, Matt, what you just brought up.
And then there's just one. No, I agree. It's awesome what you just said. There's one element of this that you know, we should really keep in mind as well. And so, first of all, just to retread the tire on the ask, if you're the younger couple and you know you need this or you desire this, be bold to ask. Look for somebody that has these character qualities and just be bold to ask.
Yeah.
But if you're the older couple that wants, be bold to invite, okay?
Yeah, totally.
And get to know. And then let God do what he's doing, okay? You don't have to orchestrate the thing. God will bring it together if you're an older couple and wants to walk in this ministry with a younger couple. God will do that.
Yeah. And okay. I want to say one thing to the younger folks listening that might want someone like this in their life. And I feel like our generation specifically has such this bend on all of this being negative. I'm not broken, or I don't need to get fixed. And then there's this pride of like, if people find out we're going to counseling or a coach, they might think, you know, like it devalues our social media photos or something like something ridiculous.
Yeah,
where I just want to encourage you, like, It's the classic example of like, you know, you don't wear a seatbelt after you crash, you wear it to prevent injury.
Yeah,
and so it's
absolutely.
Like Audrey and I, we want to actually grow in wisdom proactively.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to necessarily learn everything from bad experiences
and then
find help
and maybe
wisdom
like forecast our problems.
To prevent the next one. And a lot of people online even, you know, criticize us for like, oh, well, you guys work too hard at your marriage. And I think,
is it such a thing?
Thank you for that compliment.
Yeah, right.
No, this is a serious criticism we get. People say like, you guys, it shouldn't be this
Lighten
hard.
Up.
It shouldn't. I'm like, no.
It's not about hard.
When I'm 60, I want to be a guy pouring back into people my age right now. And that's not going to happen unless I'm proactive about finding wisdom, asking questions, going to counseling, therapy, coaching, whatever you call it.
Right.
All of it's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
And I want to encourage
hard at things that are broken.
Exactly.
Like that's about, I mean, think about our jobs. Think about
or
working
an
out.
Athlete.
Yeah, an athlete.
Yeah,
doesn't exactly. Working hard at something doesn't indicate that it's broken.
It indicates that you love it.
Yeah.
That you value it. It's a priority.
Right? To find and still seek. Now that is love.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say that because I feel like there's a bent perspective, going back to the second biggest thing people have to help their relationship is perspective shifts. I think that's a bent perspective in our day and age right now, specifically with Audrey's and my age group in this Instagram visually obsessed culture.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to take another quick break to let you guys know about a communication tool for marriage that has helped transform thousands of marriages around the world, and it's been heralded as the best communication tool for marriage, the Marriage Journal. It's a weekly check-in, and it starts with a short word of encouragement and then goes on to a calendar where you're able to communicate about the week ahead, everything you have going on, just take note and write about anything you guys have coming up. Then there are six weekly questions, which is the core of the journal. You go through these six questions and record each other's answers to them. And you do this every week. So for Aj and I, we pick a day a week where we do this. Ours is on Sunday. For example, some of the questions are, what's one thing I can do for you this week? What's one thing that was hard for you this week? What's a dream, craving, or desire that has been on the forefront of your mind? You get the idea. These six questions help to facilitate healthy conversations so you can understand each other better in order to love each other more. Also, it just got a whole new look. So we redid it, redesigned it, and I have to say it looks awesome. So you can head on over to themarriagejournal.com to check it out. Also, because you're listening to this on the podcast, we're hooking you up with a 10% discount code. All you got to do is use podcast10 and you can get 10% off. Again, you can check out The Marriage Journal at themarriagejournal.com. All right, back to the episode.
And, you know, one of the things I want to say about if for the people who are looking for a marriage coach, like the mentorship can be just relational and just fold that into the life you're living. If you're, however, a marriage coach or if you're seeking a marriage coach, respecting the time that the person is investing in your life is something mm-hmm. that's really important. Yeah. One of the jokes that used to be told in Christian publishing years ago is, you know, everybody was getting paid less than the average wage out in the market. Well, it's a ministry, you know, so it's a ministry. So everybody gets paid, you know, everybody's somehow supposed to just sacrifice everything on their. So, and to flesh this out a little bit, I was on the phone not that long ago with a person that was asking me to be to be a coach in their life. And in this case, the fellow was explaining, and by the way, very, very wealthy person.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. And, but was explaining that, he's busy with his career and that's all great. But he knows that he needs some, you know, and I said, hey, absolutely. But then when we got to the time where I said, now,
what did you have in mind?
To do this, this is what it costs for me. And he goes, whoa, just a minute. No, I thought this was kind of a spiritual thing. We are going to be talking about spiritual topics and we definitely will be talking about the Bible, but I've been on the phone with you for 2 hours from 5 until 7 right now. I haven't been with my family and this is how I make my living. But he didn't like that. He didn't feel that was right because it was spiritually. So it's really important to plan on respecting the time of the people that are speaking into your life. And
good.
I think that is a really interesting point to be said because, that there's something kind of broken there. Another perspective thing of how money and our spiritual life, as far as people that pour in, invest, and sacrifice their life for us, it is kind of interesting how we think money is so detached from that as a valuable sign of appreciation or compensation for it. You know, it's kind of super interesting, actually. Brought that up, that example, it was like, well, yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's uncomfortable sometimes to talk about money, but the fact of the matter is my kids like peanut butter sandwiches. Yeah. And so it's important to be realistic with how I'm looking after my family in the way I invest my time. And
That's good.
Right.
So
that's really good. Well, this has been.
Yeah, no, this is good. Is there anything we want to talk about biblical perspective? I'm just curious. Because back to my initial thing, there's two things that everyone says, you know, helps them, and coaching or mentorship is one, and then just maybe adjusting a perspective is another. Is there anything? I'm just opening this up for the room here.
Well, I would say just relative to the business of changing your perspective, sometimes you recognize that your spouse needs to change his or her perspective, but when you kind of go to make that suggestion, there's a little blowback there. It just doesn't work as well to hear it from your spouse for all sorts of reasons, but we're close to each other. Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if I feel like you're wrong and you need to change, which happens all the time in our marriage, by the way, Lisa needs to change.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. No, but
he's joking.
But well,
let me make this clear.
You've got to learn the magic. It's joke humor.
Every time Matt makes a joke, we should have this like ding, ding,
ding. Exactly. The bada boom. But really, this is very, very similar or apropos to what you were just talking about. in this couple having a perspective change. Mm-hmm. But she had to hear it from someone else.
Yeah.
Because hearing it from her spouse wasn't working.
What's so interesting too is we forget that it's our perspective interpreting their perspective. And yeah. So there's like, it's so double layered.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you think their perspective might change, but, and this might be obvious, it's just, it rang a bell in me right now. It's actually my built up perspective that's then interpreting it.
Yeah.
And it's, all of this is so fragile. Yeah. It could be stubbing your toe that changes your perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. On how you're viewing, it's just so interesting.
It is amazing how such a little perspective change can mean
it's like compound
ocean of change,
compound interest.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the way I like to characterize it is this, because a lot of times I'll be coaching a marriage couple, or we'll be mentoring a marriage couple together, and they think we are so far apart.
Yeah,
we look down and all we can see is the abyss. Mm-hmm. We're so far apart. But really, what it's like is it's like two canyon walls. And the woman is on this part of the side of the canyon wall, and the man is over here on this canyon wall. And they're looking down, and all they can see is black. It just goes down forever. But when you change your perspective, you learn, you know what? It's only about a foot apart.
Yeah.
You can literally step right across that canyon and be together. Yeah. And that's what that true. Perspective change can do. That's how powerful it can be. Mm-hmm. And you can just change the course of your marriage so dramatically and so positively with that perspective change.
Yep. And bringing it full circle, this perspective change happens when you are in community. People are speaking into your life. You're hanging out with folks that are older and wiser, been there, done that, and that know the word and aren't shy or scared to speak it boldly.
Well, and humility is the path to progress.
Yeah.
Right? We want to defend our territory, right? We get a little proud, but it's pride. It's the, like the stupidest sin on earth.
Don't you always say?
Yeah.
You can't fight with a humble person.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's one of my things. Yeah. It's like, when was the last time you had an argument with a humble person?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, I love exactly that. Right.
So, oh, man, that's convicting.
So.
It's good. It's good.
Well, guys, this was really good. Really fun.
Yeah.
Super to be here today, for sure.
Yeah, I think this will be really good for folks. And again, just to kind of recap, we wanted to bring Matt and Lisa on specifically to kind of dive into one of the biggest things that keeps recurring and coming up in a lot of our podcasts with a lot of the people we're talking to, and that is the value of the mentors they've found, the coaches they've found, and then ultimately some perspective shifts they've had. And so we said, hey, let's bring on some folks that are that for us. So.
And a lot of people.
A lot of other people as well. So Matt and Lisa, thank you.
Awesome to be here. Thanks. If anybody's interested, I don't know that they are, but if they are, you can find a little bit more information at faithfulman.com.
Faithfulman.com. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
And then Lisa is club31women.com. And
yep.
Your podcast is?
Faithful Life.
Faithful Life.
Faithful Life. Awesome. Yeah. Well, before we sign off, we want to ask, I think, two more questions.
Ask you guys.
Because we're sitting right next to you guys, but we haven't actually caught up on our week. So,
okay.
Guys. What is your guys' rose and thorn from the week?
Start with thorn, end with rose, because we've been making that mistake. We don't want to end on that low note, if there is one.
Awesome. Well, do you want to go first?
I'm the rose.
Wait a minute. Oh, I shouldn't have let her go first.
Yeah.
And you're the...
you're the thorn.
I'm the thorn in your side. But see, God put the thorn, or the what Paul thought was a thorn in his side. Yeah. So I'm actually God's minister to you, to focus your attention. Okay. No, let's answer this. Okay, right. Okay, so rose and thorn. I'll go first. Okay.
Thorn first.
Thorn.
Yeah, and they can be silly. Just a way to get in your guys' life.
No,
a bit.
I totally get it. Yeah. So my dad, our parents have lived with us for ever.
20 years.
20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And he lives with us. He is on hospice care. Now, he does have the record for being on hospice care. He's in his fifth year. He just passed his four-year anniversary. When you go on hospice, they figure maximum weeks. 3 months.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, right. So for some strange reason.
He's holding on.
And God's just blessing us to keep him. But the thorn, because he's very close to death and he starts bleeding. Out his nose. Mm. And it is so traumatic. Oh, and I rush over there and we try to get it stopped. And sometimes it's gone on for 6 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm rinsing out rags and we're coming back and trying to start literally. Yeah, it's so tough. That is a challenge. That's a hard thing to watch your dad go through and to be part of. So You want a thorn? That's a
that
thorn.
That is a thorn.
That is a thorn, and it's what God's given us to walk through. And he's never complained a day in his life, but he just said, this is getting hard, you know?
Yeah.
So he said, holding that rag over his nose, and he's feeble. He's old. He's 86. And
wow. Yeah.
So that's a thorn. That's so do you want to say your thorn?
That's a testament to your guys' heart, too.
Yeah.
20 years he's been with you guys?
Yeah. Wow.
I was thinking about, I guess my thorn was, is Avonlea. We have one of our daughters is severe special needs and she has seizures. And so right before we left this morning, first thing, 7 a.m.
No.
Are
you
serious? She had a seizure. I could hear Matt upstairs with her and she just cries out and it's just hard to leave.
Her body convulses.
And then we just feel like, oh, should we be going? And, you know, so it's, she's had a tough week that way.
And she hasn't had one in a while.
I know, but she's just, she's had quite a few this week. So that's been a thorn for her with
you. So and that is real tough. Life.
Those are serious thorns.
That is some real life there.
Hey, you guys.
And
Well, if you have a high note.
We do.
We do because we have been working hard on a deadline for our books and finally got mine finished.
Nice.
Yesterday. You did.
That is a huge rose.
Yesterday. So
that's cool. Amazing.
So just like this huge.
Can you say which one this is? What is this?
Okay.
See, it's okay if it's still a secret. You guys don't have to say
it. I don't think it's a secret, is it?
It's not a secret.
Okay.
Okay, so.
At least name one of them.
So you know how we have the 100 Ways to Love Your Husband, 100 Ways to Love Your Wife.
It's confusing.
We also are now writing 100 Ways to Love Your Son and 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter.
Oh, yes.
Love it. So they're so cool. So and they're coming out with Revell here in October.
Awesome.
And so.
Cool.
Congrats on that. That's big.
You guys know about deadlines.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we're working on
one
right now.
And the relief of getting one done.
Absolutely.
Like, turning it in. Yes, it'll be exciting.
Okay,
how about your praise hands?
Rose, well, me?
Actually, I was thinking about
how I've loved you this week.
I was thinking about Cambria, actually. Okay. Sorry.
Aww.
I was thinking about Cambria because on Monday she texted me and said, hey, do you want to have coffee and then we'll go to bar 3 together? And I was working under this writing deadline, so I was conflicted, but then I realized I was writing about 100 ways to love your daughter.
The Lord works.
So I told Matt, I said, oh, I really want to get together with her, but I don't have the time. What do you? He goes, just go with her. And I go, okay. So, and we just went out to coffee and we just talked about everything. And she told catching me up on her life and we worked out together. And I was just thinking on the way home, what a blessing that is to have your young adult daughter just want to hang. And she can call me her best friend, which, you know, just made my day. Really made my day. So that was
really cool. Guys, once again, where can we find you? Faithfulman.com.
Faithfulman.com and Faithful Life Podcast.
Faithful Life Podcast.
And Club31Women.com.
Club31Women. Yeah. Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
Awesome.
You guys.
We love you guys so much.
Yeah,
we'll talk soon.
All right. Okay. See you.
Bye.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Matt and Lisa. It was cool. They actually drove up from Bend, and so we were able to do this in the studio here at the farm. So that was a good time. If you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, we would really appreciate it if you took just a moment, it's literally 10 seconds, to go leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you're listening to this. It helps the algorithm, helps the podcast. It allows us, when we're pitching, to get other guests on the show just to have a more robust pitch. And so it's super helpful. And if you do leave a comment, we do read everyone and they're very, very encouraging. So thanks so much. And if you're a new listener, again, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Hope you stay and stick around. So until next Tuesday, have a good week, you guys.